This morning is Psalm 104. I know it's a bit of a lengthy psalm, but we're going to read the entire psalm because, yeah, it's just important to do that. And I think it'll be come clear to you in a few when I begin my message as to why I chose this psalm for this morning. The psalm begins, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundations, and it can never be moved. You, Lord, covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There's the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide their face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord." Thus far. Well, if you're anything like me, then you would probably agree that summertime is a wonderful time of the year. Some of us have possibly been on vacation, or some of us have just had a staycation, as it's sometimes called nowadays, enjoying the weather, enjoying a lot of different things about living in the summer sunshine and enjoying even the summer rains that come from time to time. I'm sure that as we're gathered here, some of us right now are on vacation as well. And when we think about summer and we think about vacation, it's the kind of thing, isn't it, that we hope for good weather and we're thankful when we receive it. There's no doubt about it that summers are all too short and we all want to enjoy our summers to the max. Just the way it is in our country and here in British Columbia. But what we can sometimes miss as we enjoy summer and as we plan vacations, for example, and all that comes with it, and as we're in a campground or we're going on a tour of some kind and we enjoy nature or even historical buildings, if that be the case, whatever the case may be, we do all that, but what can get lost in it all is one thing: meditation. Meditation. Meditating on all that we see and enjoy around us with a view to God. And that's what brings me and us to Psalm 104 this morning. A psalm that celebrates creation, but more importantly, a psalm that celebrates the God who's behind it all. The God who's behind it all. And the psalm, just as an aside here, I'm not going to go into detail here, the psalm reflects an order that we can find back in Genesis 1, the creation account. It's not my intent to go into details to show you the parallels and those kind of things. I just want to point it out to you. The psalm opens and it closes with exclamations of praise. And literally, and just as an aside again, I always like to remind worshipers of that, whenever we read in the English translations the word Lord, in the majority of times, 90 to 95% of the times, it refers to the covenant name of God, Yahweh, or Jehovah. So literally, praise Yahweh, O my soul. And then we need to think about that word soul for a moment, because the word soul in the Hebrew language refers to that innermost part of our being. Praise the Lord, O my soul, from the most inner part of my being. If we can use a rude word, praise the Lord from my guts. Or if you want to put it more kindly, praise the Lord from the bottom of my heart. From the depths of my heart. Praise Yahweh. Praise the covenant God. But it's interesting that in the same breath, he also uses the word Elohim. Yahweh God. Yahweh Elohim. Oh Yahweh God, you are very great. And by combining these two terms, Yahweh and Elohim, what the psalmist is doing, he's saying, you know, this creator God, Elohim, is one and the same as Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, the God who covenanted with his people. And having then combined those two names together, Yahweh and Elohim, he then goes on and he just engages in a celebration of everything that God has created. The heavens, the earth, all living things, the moon, the stars, the sea. All living things. And so the psalmist highlights the might and the power of God, without whose spirit, note this well, without whose spirit, nothing is made. Nothing. Without whose spirit, nothing lives. Now, what we need to understand again in terms of the Hebrew language is that the word for spirit and the word for breath and the word for wind are one and the same. and they can be used interchangeably. Let me repeat. The psalm is a testimony highlighting the might and power of God, without whose spirit, without whose breath, nothing lives. After all, doesn't Genesis 1 verse 2 already say the spirit or the breath of God hovered over the primordial waters? The spirit of God. The spirit of God, the breath of God, essential to life and to living. Nothing lives. Nothing gets called into being without that spirit, breath of God. And so we hear the psalmist say in verse 30, when you send your spirit, your breath, they are created and you renew the face of the earth. The entire psalm is one great big celebration of all that God has made. And it ends with a section of praise and prayer beginning at verse 31. Yes, he prays, may the glory of Yahweh endure forever. May Yahweh rejoice in his works. Now, in this case, what is the glory of Yahweh? What is the glory of the Lord? In this case, it's his creation. And I want you to think about that word glory for a few moments. Maybe you've heard yourself say when you're on vacation or camping or whatever you're doing, or even just at home, and you're having your cup of coffee sitting outside and the sun is shining and you say, what a glorious morning. What a glorious morning. And when we say that, usually we say that in the presence of somebody else, anticipating a response. Yes, indeed, it is a glorious morning. Championship teams celebrate the glory of victory. You know, parades through the city streets and all that kind of stuff. And people cheering them on, affirming their victory, their glory, the glory of victory, those kinds of things. Well, the same kind of dynamic is going on here in this psalm. Praise that is to be offered to God. Praise celebrating the awesome creating and redeeming work of God. And as he praises the Lord, it is his desire that others join in that praise. And that's the invitation that comes to us this morning, to join in that praise. A praise that won't happen, if I may put it negatively. A praising that won't happen unless we spend time really meditating, reflecting in the innermost parts of our being, from the bottom of our hearts, on all that God has made. Reflecting, not only reflecting, but also responding with praise. We'll get into that in a minute. The psalmist ends up writing, may the glory, that is the creation of Yahweh, endure forever. Verse 31. Endure forever. And as you and I well know, that likely is not going to happen unless everyone joins into praise, into this kind of praise and worship of God. A God who doesn't want his creation to be damaged by irresponsible, misdirected attitudes and behaviors of others. The others including those who give God no recognition, let alone praise for everything that he has made, who have no respect for everything that God is seeking to redeem. When I was preparing this sermon, I toyed with the idea of one or two titles. Praise the Lord, or believe it or not, blindsided. I'll tell you why. Because anyone who reads this psalm, when we come towards the end, gets blindsided. Because all of a sudden, it seems so out of context, he prays, may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, who are these sinners here referred to? Well, in the context of the psalm, it becomes clear, doesn't it, that those sinners are those who do not give the creation, the glory of God, the respect it deserves. Now, we live in tenuous times, don't we? We hear a lot of talk about things like climate change and the need to take action. We hear about it all the time. And I couldn't help but think of Romans 8, where the Apostle Paul, centuries ago, already said, the creation groans. The creation groans under the weight of sin. She groans under the selfish tendencies of humanity, the sinful tendencies of humanity, to break down what God is seeking to build. Dare I say it? In my journey in ministry, it seems to me that even within the Reformed world and life view, we pay more and more attention to kind of a pietistic kind of Christianity. As long as everything is well with my soul, everything is fine. But we've lost something of that, the creation-keeping perspective. Christianity gets translated more and more into a life of personal piety, disconnected from the call to be good stewards of all that God has made. Yeah, that prayer concerning sinners, it's just one little line in 36 verses that can be easily ignored. But it's there. And we can't overlook it. We can't. Those who don't overlook it might easily want to say that this line gives evidence of the fact that we can condemn sinners, etc., etc. But nothing could be further from the truth. The psalmist doesn't condemn. He only prays because he leaves it up to God. May sinners vanish from the earth. That's God's job, not ours. In other words, the psalmist is content to leave such individuals, such people, in the hands of God. His place, and therewith our place as believers, is to praise God. To praise God. And so he ends with the very words that he opened with, praise Yahweh, O my soul, praise Yahweh. Yeah, but how? Not only with words spoken in prayer. Not only by engaging in worship as we are doing this morning. Not only with words that we sing. Praise goes much deeper than that. It has to be done equally with actions. Actions that help rather than hinder the creation to flourish. And so the question that each of us needs to ask as we look in our own personal mirrors, I'm a believer. Am I helping or hindering creation to flourish? And I know that it's all our desire to have it flourish. Well, then let's praise God not only in song and in worship, but in actively pursuing that which will help the creation to flourish, personally and collectively. And so let's ask ourselves very personally, am I helping to hinder or help? A question that each, especially Reformed Christian, needs to answer for him or herself. And if we, for whatever reason, feel, you know, if I really think about it, when I really meditate on it, I'm more of a hindrance than a help, then it's God who encourages us and says, okay, well, just come and confess. There's always room for forgiveness. There's always room for hope. And then to carry on with a new day, helping rather than hindering. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you know each of our hearts. You know it's the desire of us to serve you faithfully and joyfully. You know, O Lord, what lives deep within our hearts. Give us the time, the space, the ability to meditate on your creation as the psalmist does here. And as we do so, Lord, and as we respond to our meditating, that then, Lord, we seek by the power of your word and spirit to seek to help creation to flourish. In that sense, Lord, we can't say strongly enough how we need you, how we need your help, how we need your empowerment to be all that you want us to be, to give glory to you in worship songs, in the act of worship, in the acts of seeking all that is just and right for your creation. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.